Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, Lord Krishna's Entrance into Dwarka. Text number 15. Dwari Dwari Krihanam Cha.
Dwari Dwari Krihanam Cha.
Dadhi Yakshata Phalek
Shubhi. Dadhi Yakshata Phalek
Shubhi. Alankritam Purna Kumbhair.
Alankritam Purna Kumbhair.
Maribhir Dhupa Deepakai.
Maribhir Dhupa Deepakai.
Dwari, dwari,
dwari, dwari,
the door of each and every house,
the door of each and every house.
Grihanam,
Grihanam,
of all the residential buildings,
cha,
and
that
he curd,
akshata,
unbroken, phal, fruit,
ikshubhi,
sugar cane, alankritam,
decorated,
purna kumbhai,
full water pots,
alibhi,
along with articles for worship,
dhupa,
incense,
deepakai,
with lamps and candles.
In each and every door of the residential houses, auspicious things like curd, unbroken fruits, sugar cane, and full water pots with articles for worship, incense, and candles were all displayed. Purport: the process of reception according to Vedic rites is not at all dry. The reception was made not simply by decorating the roads and streets as above mentioned, but by worshipping the Lord with requisite ingredients like incense, lamps, flowers, sweets, fruits, and other palatable edibles, according to one's capacity. All were offered to the Lord, and the remnants of the foodstuffs were distributed amongst the gathering citizens. So it was not like a dry reception of these modern days. Each and every house was ready to receive the Lord in a similar way, and thus each and every house on the roads and streets distributed such remnants of food to the citizens. Therefore the festival was successful. Without distribution of food, no function is complete, and that is the way of Vedic culture. Om Agyana Jimirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Tatatisva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Gurim Yadkripa Tamaham Mande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. So, the process of reception according to Vedic rites is not at all dry. So this little section here is describing Dwarka. And the entrance to the city and the decorations that have been prepared for Krishna's entrance into the city. Not only into the city, but also each of the individual houses have been decorated. It says here, the highways, subways, lanes, markets and public meeting places were all thoroughly cleansed. So we can assume the houses as well. And then moistened with scented water. In this day and age, we throw paper. Right? We throw paper. That's about as opulent as it gets. But here, the natural products of an abundant community, of an abundant society, are being offered in appreciation, in a sign of affection and adoration and love for Krishna, who is the leader of all of the citizens. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, he's the leader of the whole universe. The Lord and Master of everyone. And so, in appreciation and in recognition of Krishna's position, then he's being given an appropriate welcome. So everything is cleansed, then scented water, then decorations, which is much like a festival in a temple. Same in a temple. You know, before we have Janmashtami, we clean the temple. And then after cleansing everything, we decorate it. And then you see how everything is, the atmosphere is then surcharged with a sense of expectation and heightened excitement. It's sensual. Of course, we're sensual beings, and Krishna is also, well, he's the Hrishikesha, the master of the senses. And so the engagement of the senses in the service of the master of the senses is a natural and satisfying experience for everybody in glorifying Krishna. Because everybody has a relationship with Krishna, when that glorification is done in a particular way, in an appropriate fashion, then it's not only pleasing to Krishna, but it's also pleasing to the devotees. Or sometimes it may be a worship of Krishna's representative also, which is also pleasing to Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada came to India on his return from America with his the second time he basically the first time Prabhupada returned to India was to look after his health. But the second time he came with his disciples, well, maybe it was the third, certainly. Anyway, the time when he came back with his disciples to establish the preaching in the early 70s, then Prabhupada was welcomed with ceremony when he went to Anand, is it? Anand in Surat? Is that the name of the place? Or was it Sanand? Anand, wasn't it? Then, and the king brought out his chariot, well, his coach. And Hari Swari mentions, you know, it had seen better days. But then the citizens of the city, and you know, I think the town was like 10,000 people, which is really a small village. 10,000 people in India is nothing. But still, on that particular occasion that Srila Prabhupada came, then the citizens all came out to welcome him. There were festoons, there were decorations, there was a kirtan party. And as part of the procession, the women followed along. And then they spontaneously all then broke out into kirtan, into chanting Hare Krishna. You know, this is the natural in, well, we could say indigenous culture of India. Have a procession, have a parade. People get dressed up. There are dancers. There are speeches. There's kirtan. There's drumming. You know, you see in the weddings a lot of drumming and dancing and carrying on. So it's all very exuberant and exciting. But engaging, it engages the senses. And it engages us, especially in this, it engages the senses in glorification and in connection to glorification of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. That's very auspicious. And in the process then, there are fruits, flowers, other, the natural products of an abundant society or an abundant culture are then offered in appreciation. So Prabhupada says it's not at all dry, it's juicy. The reception was made not simply by decorating the roads and streets as above mentioned, but by worshipping the Lord with requisite ingredients, like incense. You know, on a big occasion, especially in Mayapur, they do this, or they used to do it, in the mornings after Mangalarchik. You know, there's japa, and everybody sits around Srila Prabhupada. And the mosquitoes come out at that time also. After Mangalarchik, and they go, okay, it's breakfast time. So then, the pujaris light a big incense holder. It's about this round with charcoal inside. Get it burning, and then they pour in the frankincense, and it, you know, the smoke comes billowing out. So no, you know, just a couple of sticks of incense. But billowing smoke, and they have a fan, and everybody's sitting there, and it's sort of like, you know, you're in a jungle or something, with the smoke pouring around. So that's, you know, incense, blowing incense, and even that's a tradition in the church. You know, these traditions are, you know, I'm thinking of the pomp and ceremony that surrounds the king and queen. You know, they've just, Queen Elizabeth has just had her, what is it, Diamond Jubilee or something ceremony. So they have the coach come out, and then the guards wear their fancy uniforms, the horses are all decorated very nicely with plumes and so forth. It's very, very attractive. Very satisfying and enlightening. enlightening. So incense is burnt, clouds of incense smoke, lamps are lit. Prabhupada was in Nellore, and I've seen this for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Mayapur. They get a ghee lamp, but with 108 wicks on it. Right? So, you know, by the time they've got this roaring flame, you know, in fact, it's so hot sometimes you can't even hold the thing. Right? So not just a little itty bitty lamp, but a big, takes two people to hold the thing. And flowers, you know, the flowers are laid out. You see in the boat festival in Vrindavan and in other boat festivals, they cover the whole of the water in a pattern of flowers. Right? The whole of the water, the whole, or a lake, is completely covered with flowers in a like a rangoli, a pleasant decoration. So that's very pleasing to the eyes, very pleasing to the senses again. So everything very sensual, essential. It's required for worshipping and glorifying Krishna. Colours, patterns, decorations. It's a culture, actually. A culture of affection, a culture of appreciation, a culture of glorification. You know, usually people don't like to see somebody worship because, well, it's not for me, so why should he have it? Why should somebody else be worshipped if I'm not being worshipped? So it's a culture of envy. And so therefore nobody gets worshipped. Right? Nobody is glorified, nobody is praised, nobody is appreciated. Everybody's minimized. It's just the top dog who then, you know, threatens everybody else. They're coward in the submission. Coward in the submission. So then, you know, beautiful decorations, but in this particular instance, Prabhupada is focusing on food, fruits, and other palatable edibles. So, you know, it's an engagement of the senses. And what's the most demanding of the senses? Is the tongue. Sharira avijja jal. Right? The body is a network of senses, which is basically made up of ignorance. Avidya means ignorance. Sharira avidya jal jatendriya tahiko. And of those senses, the tongue, jive file vishayasagore, all of the senses, the tongue is the most difficult to control. Right? Why is that? Because of all of the senses, the tongue has two functions too. It has the capacity to vibrate, and it has the capacity to taste, and which it likes to do. So on these occasions, you know, in fact, every occasion, Prabhupada mentions, where there's a festival or a feast or some commemoration or a gathering, then food should be distributed. In the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says, food, you know, if there's a religious event, sacrifice or other event taking place, then it's not complete unless there's a distribution of food. Although, actually, Prabhupada clarifies, not just food, but prasadam. Right? Prasadam is an integral aspect of our culture, of Krishna conscious culture, of devotional culture. Food is essential. You know, we couldn't imagine worship of Krishna without offering of bhoga, offering of food. That, you know, when you wake Krishna up in the morning, what do? Give him something to eat. Before you do the aarti, before there's the aarti is performed, then there's offering of foodstuffs. And then after the ceremony has been performed, then there's the distribution of that prasadam. You know, the whole culture is everything belongs to Krishna. What is it? Idam Krishna, Idam Namama. This belongs to Krishna, it doesn't belong to me. So everything is offered, first of all, to Krishna, especially the food. And so in that way we can understand that, as Prabhupada says here, the process of reception and other activities according to Vedic rites, what to speak of the process of reception. It's certainly true for the process of reception, but it's true for everything else as well. It's not dry. Right? And the distribution of prasadam is the culmination of all of the other activities that are performed. Very important. Very important. You know, Srila Prabhupada, when he was preaching in America, before he had any temple, before he had any fixed location, he wrote a letter to Sali Agarwal. I was looking in the Shikshamrita last night. He wrote a letter to Sali Agarwal and he said, "You should come to New York and start up a restaurant. And you'll make money. You'll make your fortune." And Prabhupada was saying, you know, you'll never make your fortune just by being a servant of somebody else. You need to go into business. And he said, you know, there's at least 300 items that we could be cooking. And people are eating in restaurants. I can teach you all of the recipes. I can give you all of the menus and you can be successful in your business. You can make money, in other words. But Prabhupada said, he said, you can be successful, but you can also assist me in my mission. Now Prabhupada didn't even have a temple established. Didn't even have any disciples, but he was thinking already, let's have a restaurant and distribute prasadam. He said, people will be attracted. And I think they'll become vegetarian. He said, maybe not everybody, but at least the higher class people will become vegetarian. So, you know, this is part of any religious ceremony or part of any religious function, or we can see part of, you know, integral to the preaching of Krishna consciousness is the distribution of prasadam. You know, Prabhupada said, we're not vegetarians. We're prasadariums. Huh? We're automatically vegetarian. But not because that's our focus. In fact, the Prabhupada says, you know, we don't preach vegetarianism. We don't preach vegetarianism. We preach, or we demonstrate, and so therefore we preach, if you like. Vegetarianism, because Krishna says that's what he wants. But the most important thing is what we should give Krishna, because he wants it, because he likes it. That's what we do. We just automatically happen to be vegetarians. So everything here, but especially the food, like fruit. Here we go. Sweets, fruits and other palatable edibles according to one's capacity. All were offered to the Lord. And then the remnants are distributed amongst the citizens. This is a festival, just like, you know, the ABC came to interview us the other day on Janmashtami. And Jai Sachi was telling her how many kilograms of this and how many kilograms of that. Mm-hmm. 400 kilograms of this and that and the other thing. So anyway, they were quite impressed. 3,000 people. We're feeding 3,000 people. That's the culture. And Jai Sachi was saying, you know, if you want to please somebody, then you do it by filling up their stomach. And of course, we know, you know, the way to a man's heart is through his belly. And Prabhupada called our, you know, Krishna consciousness the kitchen religion. So very important, very important that we appreciate the culture of the spiritual culture that we represent. That the festivals are not dry, austere occasions, but rather there may be some austerity, but that's simply for the glorification of Krishna. But at the end, there's always a feast, a festival. And that's how Prabhupada started the Krishna Consciousness Movement, you know, the Sunday Love Feast. Satsarupa Maharaj writes in the Lilamrita how, you know, the devotees felt that spiritual life meant renunciation, you know, don't eat and... But then Prabhupada would fill them up on Sundays with sweet rice and samosas. They'd eat so much they couldn't get up the next day. So it's not, you know, spiritual life is a life of renunciation, but that renunciation is not dry abnegation. But rather, renunciation means understanding to whom everything belongs and then utilizing it in Krishna's service. And so that means, especially for us, we need to be, we're not obliged to perform artificially dry and austere kind of renunciation. The renunciation that we perform is meant ultimately to be a pleasurable offering to Krishna, and as part of that offering we present foodstuffs. And you know, that's ultimately for the purification of everyone. It's not just for filling our bellies. That's one aspect of it, but it's for our purification. It's for everybody's purification. What is that verse? Muchante. What is that verse? Jagyashishtashana shanto muchante sava kilbishai. Bunjate te tvagam papam ye pachamchat makaranat. The devotees are accustomed to eat the remnants of sacrifice. It's sacrifice. Everything is first of all offered to Krishna. You know, somebody might come along and see the devotees eating a big feast and saying, oh, they're all just a bunch of gluttons, just into filling themselves up. But no, the food stuff has first of all been offered to Krishna. So therefore it's Jagya Sista, it's the remnants of sacrifice. And that's important. That's very important. That's essential. That's the culture. The culture is, yes, eat to your full satisfaction, but first of all, offer it to Krishna. Everything we do, first of all, offer it to Krishna. What did I say before? Idam Krishnaya, idam namama. This is for Krishna, it is not for me. That's the first, that's the meditation. Then it will be purifying for the participants. So the prasadam is taken as remnants offered to the Lord, and that's purifying. That's why we're not vegetarians, because you know the vegetarian may take his food, but it still hasn't been offered to Krishna. So what's the point? Where's the benefit? There's no benefit. It's still then contaminated by pap or sin. So it's got to be offered. The point is, it's got to be offered to Krishna. What we do has to be an offering. Then when it's an offering, the remnants are then purified. And especially Prabhupada emphasizes certain ingredients. Here it's mentioned dahi, curd. So Prabhupada especially emphasizes milk products, because Krishna likes, that's why Krishna likes the cows, is because he likes milk. Of course cows are also very animals in the mode of goodness. So very, it's auspicious to be with cows. So this mode of worship where everything is offered to Krishna is essential. It's the culture. And especially prasadam distribution is our culture. It's not, and you know, there's some, you know, it's hard work, certainly. But most everything that we do is, at some point, somewhere in life, have a guess what? There's hard work. Right? It's called karma. It's called karma. Action. And it is meant to be done for our purification. If you just sit around and do nothing all day, where does that get you? Nowhere. But work is natural. Work is natural for everybody. And it's a means of purification. If that, you know, if one works for Krishna, then one becomes purified. That's really the essence of what Prabhupada encouraged, was for everybody to work for Krishna. Work has to be performed. There's no way that we can avoid working. But if the work is performed with the idea of sacrifice, practical sacrifice, so it is done as an offering to Krishna, as what Indian Prabhupada says, according to one's capacity, according to one's propensities, and according to one's natural aptitude, and according to one's resources, then that's purifying. And really that's what's being encouraged in the Bhagavad Gita. We're meant to perform acts of, these are acts of sacrifice. But especially in this day and age, the act of sacrifice is to, specifically is to propagate and to promulgate the Sankirtan Jagya. That's the karma for this age, the purifying karma, or the basis of all purifying karma, is to perform Sankirtan. So when one dedicates their life to serving and to sacrificing, then one fulfills the mission of human life. So Prabhupada emphasized this point, encouraged it, pushed it. And especially pushed prasadam distribution as part of that activity. So yes, it's hard work, but immensely powerful, immensely powerful purifying agent. And it takes time. You know, we see that in the Western culture, people take time to embrace Krishna consciousness. There are some rare people who just naturally take it up. You know, just like they're naturals. They're just natural. You tell them to chant Hare Krishna, they say, okay, how many times? Huh? Get up in the morning, early in the morning, okay, I'll see you at Mangalarti. There are people like that. But on the whole, the general population is not like that. Not like in India, you know, you get people just naturally, although it's changing, even in India it's changing. The internet is infiltrating. Consumerism and pop culture is infiltrating and undermining the spiritual values, but still, you know, find a piety, there's piety there. But so, you know, constant prasadam distribution is the means, but one of the means. Harinam, prasadam distribution, book distribution is the means for gradually purifying the population. Why we had a meeting yesterday to discuss our planning for the kitchen. We're going to have a kitchen that's 5 times the size of what we've got now. Is that right, John? At least 5 times the size. So what does that mean? If you've got a kitchen 5 times the size, what does that mean? 5 times more prasadam. At least, at a minimum, 5 times the amount of prasadam distribution. And I was thinking about it last night. You know, a lot of endeavour to do that. Maybe $1 million, maybe more. But what it gives us is an opportunity to establish another restaurant, another Crossways, or 2 Crossways, or 3 or 4. Right? And then, ideally, if we set those places up, that also means we can have another urban yoga facility, similar facility, so that devotees can preach from that place. And, you know, find those people. It's not easy to find the people who are prepared to sit down and really embrace the sadhana, you know, the practice. But at least, we know that prasadam distribution makes people favourable. You know, there's a point where Prabhupada said, okay, stop temples, open up restaurants and reading rooms. You know, I've seen many times you go into Crossways or you go into Gopals, somebody's had prasadam, they're sitting down and they're reading a book. Dangerous. They don't realise how dangerous it is. This was a big mistake. Now your material life is about to be destroyed. Right? And especially, you know, in a country like Australia, we see that a lot of our success is due to prasadam distribution. People, you know, we had 20 people, was it? Came on Sunday from the Loddon Shire, or it's not the Loddon, what do they call that group? Loddon? Murray, yeah, Loddon Murray, what?
Community leadership program.
Yeah, community leadership program. So these are people who are living in northern Victoria, basically. And each one of them is a leader in their community. And they came from the towns all over that area. Right? And we were having a discussion on leadership. And at the end of it, one of the ladies... And you can see the cult, and actually it's part of all cultures, actually, this is my realisation, this food distribution. Because she, at the end of the talk, or near towards the end, she said, I'd like to thank you for your restaurants. That's what she said. I think, well, that's odd. Well, not odd, but that's interesting. We weren't talking about... She said, delicious food. And then she, at the end, she gave me 3 jars of pickles. Right? She gave me 3 jars of pickles. None of which we can probably eat. Because they said, this one's mustard and onions. I said, ooh, yummy. I think I'll give that to my dad. He can appreciate such a thing. But, okay, the ingredients might not be what, but it's the offering, it's the reciprocation, which is important. Which is important, you know. If we're giving people knowledge and we're doing it sincerely, if we're giving people prasadam, you know, which is what this is, if we're giving it generously, and we should be doing it generously, knowing full well that the prasadam that we distribute has a purifying effect. Munchate, what is it? Sava kilvishai. It removes all the sinful reactions from a person's heart. You know, sometimes we think, oh no, I've got to go to Crossways again. You know, so much hard work. Why do we have to work so hard? But when we understand and appreciate this is our culture and we're giving people an opportunity to make advancement in Krishna consciousness that they wouldn't get otherwise. It's very, very important. It's worth the sacrifice to change the hearts of others. That's what Prabhupada did. You know, he undertook so much, you know, sacrifice and struggle to give people an opportunity to change their hearts. That's what we're trying to do. And it's powerful when we see that with a reciprocation like that. Somebody says, thank you for the restaurants. No, it's thanks for distributing prasadam and you know, really making a difference. It is making a difference. We don't see it necessarily, but imperceptibly it's making a change. One of the reasons why I was thinking last night, you know, why our kitchen, making our kitchen bigger is a major step in our preaching. You know, book distribution is important and we should increase our book distribution. We should be, and we are thinking of ways on how to do that. But also the prasadam distribution, which assists that and which gives us a facility then to also cultivate people, is important. And if we have a five times the kitchen that we've got now, that means, you know, four or five Crossways. Maybe not called Crossways, but certainly the same kind of facility where we're preaching. That's powerful. And that'll have a big impact on the culture and the presentation of Krishna consciousness in Melbourne. And as Prabhupada says here, without distribution of food, no function is complete. So it's important for us. Right? And he says here, and that is the way of Vedic culture. So we should understand and appreciate our culture and value it. And especially this, you know, prasadam distribution, very important. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Yes.
It must be, I mean, probably around half a kg or more than half a kg of ghee.
Yes.
So it's very different.
Yep.
And they clean the whole Vishram Ghat every morning.
Yep.
The water.
And they offer that lamp. Yes. I've seen it. You know, you can't come close to it. It's like, ooh, you can feel the heat going off the feet. Yeah, very powerful. Just imagine what the sun is like. And that's Krishna's Shakti. Also, that's just a little bit of Krishna's Shakti. Krishna will burn up all of your sins. Don't get too close though. You might get extinguished, singed in the process. This is called fired up. You get purified as a result. Papaji.
You have described the whole very touchingly, this lecture, so wonderfully. There is also ceremony called Shanai, Shanai Vadan.
Yes.
In any function?
Yes. Yep, when Prabhupada came to Nellore in Andhra Pradesh, then they had the Shanai.
Yeah.
And it was an 8-foot long Shanai. In Tirupati, in the ISKCON temple in Tirupati, in the morning after Mangalarti, there's one man who plays the drum and another man who plays the Shanai, and it lasts for about half an hour, maybe a bit more. So yeah, the Shanai is traditional greeting when somebody comes. You know, it's all lively, enlivening, lively, entertaining, exciting. You know, the banging of the drum and the.
Shanai. Another point, when I was 3 or 4 years old, my father always said, whatever you eat, first offer to Krishna. Mm-hmm. So I asked him that if I'm eating in the shop, how can I offer? He said, it doesn't matter. When you start eating, just think of Krishna.
That's called prasadam.
And then eat him. So it becomes Krishna.
Yep. And even, you know, even these traditions are present in other cultures too, for that matter. You know, my parents, or my father, always says grace before he has a meal.
Yeah.
Oh Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us, what is it, truly thankful or something. I've heard it so many times I've forgotten it. I know, sorry, right, I'll be to Joe. Same thing, same meditation.
As you said, the pop culture
undermines the spiritual. Yes, pop culture means I'm the enjoyer. Whereas Vedic culture means Krishna's the enjoyer. And then we enjoy with Krishna by distributing and taking the prasadam. That's purifying. But pop culture is consumerism, basically. And you know, basically to make some very, very smart men wealthy. Smarter men exploit the weaker men, the less intelligent men, and tell them, you're enjoying, you're having a lot of fun, but I'm taking all of your money. In the demon's dungeon. They're living in the demon's dungeon. And the demon's dungeon is the factory, the office. In this day and age, the office, it's a dungeon where they're trapped. And the demons are extracting their blood, basically. And then telling them, you're enjoying. Oh, I'm enjoying. Oh, great. They're actually being exploited. All right, I think we should finish here. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai Guru Bhaktivinoda Kishore. Oh, just one thing I wanted to mention. I'm going to Adelaide this week, so I'll be away for a week. So if you need me, give me a call. And if I don't answer the phone, leave a message.